He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, the December the 18th, live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. We have a huge day in the market today, brought to you by Micron, the memory company. Remember Micron? How many times have I told you about Micron over the last several weeks and the severe memory shortage? Well, you know, the market should have seen it coming. Micron had a monster report last night, and the Dow is up 341 points to 48,227. The NASDAQ is gaining back almost everything it lost yesterday. Not quite, but almost. It's up 305. That's 1.34% as Micron carries the AI and the tech stocks and the chip stocks higher. I've got more to say that in a bit on the chip stock sell-off yesterday. The S&P 500 is up 67 points. That's a 1% move. The Russell 2000 is up 1%. We had a benign CPI report, which we'll talk about here. The 10-year is down today. We haven't seen that for a while. 4.11. Gold is down today, 12 basis points. Oil is up 1%. And Bitcoin right now is down $1,386. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a fee-based only investment advisory and financial planning firm, getting ready to tour America in 2026. I can't wait. The tour schedule, we're booking venues, Barry, and advanced tickets are on our website. And
say no to Ticketmaster.
The Sugar Magnolia bus is getting an oil change and a little tune-up, and we'll be hitting the road. I think our first stop will be Houston. We have not ever been there before with the show.
Yeah, right.
And then I'm thinking number two will be San Jose again, and then probably Sarasota, and then Cleveland. We'll just see how it works out. But that's kind of my initial thoughts on the 2026 tour, and the T-shirts have not been sent to the printer yet.
The first leg. The first
yeah,
leg.
Until the tour date is finalized. Okay, look, how many times in the last month or two or three have I been talking about the memory shortage? I'm a guy that talks to almost anybody. You can probably imagine that. And I had a guy working on my I got a new iPhone, and I had him switch everything over to my iPhone. And you know, on the side, he builds computers, as a hobby and for other people. And he was talking to me about the memory shortage, which I already knew about, but I didn't realize how severe it was. He said, I can't even build a computer for someone right now. You can buy it cheaper at Costco. The memory that I put into a computer, which used to cost me about $70, is over $210 right now, if you can get it. And, light bulbs go off in my head. That's the money manager. And I realized, this shortage is more critical than I thought. And the two stocks that come to mind immediately, well, the one that really comes to mind is Micron. SanDisk would be number two. Samsung is not really investable for us, unless you buy Samsung through an ETF or maybe SoftBank or something like that. But it's not really investable. And, we did establish a big position in Micron. I've owned it off and on many times during the years. And I also thought, if there's a shortage there, I'll bet there's a shortage in other things. And Western Digital came to mind. It's having a huge day today. So anyways, we had a giant sell-off in the market yesterday. And I saw two things behind that sell-off. And the reason I did not panic, you know, look, sometimes you have to ride through rough waters to get to the fishing grounds to reap the catch, you know? That's just the way it is.
Got to get your sea legs on the way, right?
That's the nature of the beast. If you can't withstand down days in the market, you shouldn't be in the market. It was a big sell-off day yesterday, right?
And not all stocks. I mean, Micron's a great, you know, a great one in terms of your patience paying off, at least from where the stock is right now. And it's, you know, Micron is, you know, not all stocks are created equal. That stock tends to be a bit volatile.
Very volatile.
Because of the fact, as you've talked before, it's, you know, the memory, you know, the memory it's in, you know, the space it's in has very much been commoditized over the years. And whenever you have a commodity, then, you know, sometimes it tends to be a lot more volatile. So
yes,
you got to give it a longer leash than
interestingly enough, you know, Idaho is known for a couple of things, potato chips and memory chips. What a strange bedfellows those are, right? But that's the way it is. You know, Boise is the home of Micron, and the same guy who was in on the French fry boom at McDonald's, J.R. Simplot, it goes back to him and investing big time and creating this memory chip manufacturing company in Boise. They manufacture now in other locations around the world. Potato chips and memory chips. That's it. Maybe, you know, when you enter Idaho, which I've entered many times, there's a sign that says, "Welcome to the Potato State." And there's a picture of a baked potato or a potato or something like this. And maybe they should change that. Welcome to the Potato Chip and the Memory Chip State and have a big picture of a Micron flash memory chip. But anyways, it was kind of an ugly day yesterday. From my perspective, there were two things that I saw. Number one, the news that Oracle, who has plans to build a giant $10 billion data center, I can't remember what state it's in, Kansas or Arkansas or somewhere out there, you know, in the mid part of the country, not getting the financing from Blue Owl Capital. I don't know if you saw that. They wanted $10 billion in financing, and Blue Owl said, "I don't know about that." I think that sent a little bit of a shudder through the whole AI infrastructure patch, number one.
That means they hit their limit, right? It's like, we're tapped out. I mean,
yes. Number two, the rhetoric, not the rhetoric, provocative measures around Taiwan by China have increased dramatically. You know, I reached out to Grok yesterday and said, "Is the tension increasing over there?" Yes. They are. China has really turned up the heat on Taiwan. Because I looked at Taiwan Semiconductor, I said, "Why is that stock really tanking today?" And I think that had something to do with it. Now, let's throw in one more thing that's very provocative. We are providing billions of dollars of weapons to Taiwan. That was announced yesterday. So that's a real deal that, you know, I'm a guy that has to always be aware of the risks that are out there in the market. I saw an article today. What are the top 10 risks for 2026? I didn't see Taiwan on that list, but Taiwan is.
It will not go away. It's hard to hedge against,
but it is a risk. It's almost inevitable that at some point in time, I don't think they're going to do it during Trump's administration. I would just say if Biden were in, they'd have probably done it by now, and he probably would have done nothing. That's just the way he kind of acted, kind of a do-nothing kind of guy. But I don't know that they'll do it under Trump. I don't feel like they will because they know that you're setting off world war. We will defend Taiwan, and we're making no bones about it by sending them weaponry here and telling China, So anyways, those were the two things in the background that I saw behind the chip sell-off. Now, why didn't I panic and sell? Because my macro outlook is quite buoyant right now, and it was buoyed higher. The tide came in on when I wrote the newsletter over the weekend. despite a lot of distractions, unnecessary distractions that I had to deal with. But that's the nature of the beast in this business. I still found that the earnings estimates for 2027, I know it's a long ways off, but it's not a long ways off. The market is already taking its cue from those 2027 earnings estimates. They went up by $5 last week. That's a significant rise. If you put a 21 multiple on that, that means S&P 500, 105 points, right? So that gave me some conviction in my gut about the macro outlook. That's why the macro outlook is so important to know and have in the back of your mind when you make micro decisions. Does that make sense? It makes perfect sense to me. Now, when we come back, we've got a jobs number and a CPI number. Why are those important? That's the two things the Fed is taking their cue from right now. We'll be right back.
I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
And welcome back to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, I just want to focus a little bit more on that sell-off yesterday. Here's a comment from Daniel Jones, a Seeking Alpha analyst. I'm going to have to follow this guy. I like this guy. He totally agrees with my conclusion. I'm just reading this here. A big driver behind yesterday's decline involved Oracle, with reporting that Blue Owl Capital will no longer fund a $10 billion Michigan-based data center. And there have been rumors circulating that other data center projects are being pushed back or delayed. You know, I'll just tell you that Blue Owl is then selling that debt to private. The private is going into the private debt markets. A lot of this data center debt, which, you know, I would not. I got an email from somebody yesterday. Prospect Capital, we want to visit you next week, our analyst, blah, 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 talk to you about our private, debt. What do you call it? Yeah, private debt, offerings. And I wrote back, I said, I wouldn't touch that stuff with a 10 foot pole. Please take me off your list. Okay.
Did they respond?
Other than that, I don't think he wants to set up an appointment anymore, but
did they respond back?
No. Okay, now, President, we also have a blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers taking place off of Venezuela, okay? There's always something going on in the world. It seems like they're working towards a peace agreement. They're getting closer and closer, but I don't know. I never trust anything that Putin has to say. And we'll get into this Taiwan situation here in a minute. But let's go to the big economic reports today. CPI rises 2.7% year-over-year in November, softer than expected. The consensus was 3.1. Where's the beef? Well, the beef is beef prices. There's where your biggest jump was. It's just unbelievable. You know, I think Trump has the right idea. Hey, guys, we're going to start importing beef from Brazil, Argentina. You've got to increase the supply. That's how you drive down prices. And I'm sorry for the cattle ranchers in the U.S. here, but it's gotten ridiculous. Uncooked ground beef up 14.9% year over year. An uncooked beef roast, up 21.2%. Well, too much meat's not good for you anyways. But a whole grain roast just doesn't cut it like a brisket.
Oh, that
or
prime,
a prime rib.
I finally got it. Finally got the we call it the roast beast, right, from Dr. Seuss. So we got that yesterday.
Costco?
Finally. No, I actually got it this one at Publix. They had a decent deal. I've been
yeah,
waiting
for a while.
Yeah,
you had to go get the guy to unlock
the case, right? Yeah,
right. That the prime ribs
they won't
are
let
behind.
You can't self-check out that one.
No.
They walk you up there.
Oh, yeah. They follow you with an armed guard. So anyways, steaks up 14.7%. Beef prices are at record levels due to a combination of supply shortages. Well, let's bring in more. I've had some great steaks down in Mexico. There's a place in La Paz, Mexico, that serves steaks from Uruguay, Uruguay. Oh,
Australian beef? Australian beef's big. Remember in terms of like a lot of your fast food burger, a good bit of it comes from Australia. So.
Yeah. Okay. So let's increase the supply. Initial jobless claims slide to 224,000 in December the 13th week. And that's something we watch every single week because, that's where trouble will start to show up in the economy when those jobless claims start to rise. I always think of the soup lines and 1930, the Great Depression, and these guys were execs on Wall Street, now they're in soup line. I'm not going predicting that, but I conjure up that memory in my mind, right, when I think of initial jobless claims. Airfares fell back in November more than anticipated, so really everything but beef. And we should have a beef. If Trump wants to make everybody happy and get his ratings up, bring down Big Mac prices. I want to say they're $8.50. That's what they are online if you have it like DoorDash or Uber, do you? Bring down ribeye steak prices, and your ratings will go up. Bank of America lowers the rate this morning to 3.75%. We seem to be in lockstep with the UK as far as central banks. You know, Europe is way lower than that. I want to say Europe's at 2% on their 10-year.
Yeah, and they held it steady today.
They held theirs steady, but the Bank of England did lower theirs, and they're at the same rate we are right now, 3.75%.
And Europe's getting flooded. Right now, Europe's getting flooded with cheap Chinese goods from, a spillover from the tariffs. So that is, that's keeping their inflation very, very minimal. They're able to, they don't need to raise rates because they have this artificial,
Know what their beef prices are over there, but look at they're buying cheaper Chinese EVs instead of the more expensive Tesla models. Okay, a lot of individual stocks. DJT, Trump Media, to merge with TAE Technologies in a $6 billion all-stock deal. Last time I looked, it was up 24%.
And what does TAE do?
They do. You know, I could see, Trump Media is not going to make it. They don't have any sales. They don't have any earnings, blah, blah, blah. He kind of did it, so he had an outlet, Truth Social, that he could send out his tweets on as kind of a stab in the back against Twitter cutting him out. But anyways, Trump Media, TAE, is a nuclear fusion, which is a promising technology, but it is probably years away. We probably have about 10 guys in our little church that I help with, the branch of our church, that are in the nuclear program over at the Navy. And I've talked to them about nuclear fusion, which does not require the uranium and all of that. But, they've made significant progress. But here's what Grok has to say about nuclear fusion. It is right. I lost it. But it's years away. Years away. They've made scientific and engineering progress. Here's my notes. But commercial electricity generation from fusion remains years away, with no operational power plants yet producing net electricity to the grid. Like I say, it's very promising. It'll probably happen at some point. We had a big breakthrough back in 2022. But we're years away from nuclear fusion. So it's kind of like the quantum stocks, Barry. Buy DJT at your own risk.
Long duration.
long duration. Okay, when we come back, we're going to get into this Micron story. Holy cow. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back.
Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Now, the three stories I want to cover in this last half of the show is number one, Taiwan, number two, Micron, and we'll throw in a little bit of Lilly, how the pill is working. The pill is working in the trials as well as the shot, and I think that would really increase, I think a lot of people would I would think it would increase their sales and lower their expenses. So that's good news on Lilly this morning. But let's
and they've
begin.
Been cranking it out. I hear that they've been. I mean, they've been building the supply up in kind of almost in I guess in hopes, but probably in knowing that at some point it's going to get approved. So
they built. They're building a plant in Alabama to manufacture the drug. Whether it's pill form or the shot form, they are ramping up. And I just believe that they haven't even begun to penetrate the market that is out there for this miracle drug. And, you know, I'm reading all kinds of things where it relieves pain, not just losing the weight, but the pill itself, and it increases mental alertness. So
and fertility issues. I was telling you there was. My wife was telling me there's studies on in terms of fertility parts. So there's it covers a lot of our different body systems, and
it's a natural element found in nature. Okay, now let's go to Taiwan. This is the one that's a bit scary. So I asked Grok yesterday, are things ramping up over there? The provocative nature of what China is doing. And I got back the answer that I thought I would get. It says, yes, China is actively threatening Taiwan through a combination of military posturing, diplomatic pressure, and strategic planning aimed at asserting control over the island, which Beijing views as a breakaway province. These actions have escalated tensions in recent years, including December of 2025. Okay, we're 18 days into the month. Though they stop short of an outright invasion and are often framed by China's defensive or internal matters, here's what is going on. China's People Liberation Army has intensified activities around Taiwan, including frequent incursions into Taiwan's air defense, identification zone, large-scale exercises, and naval employments. Taiwan has warned of the potential for a massive Chinese missile strike with estimates of 5,000 to 10,000 ballistic and cruise missiles targeting infrastructure like power grids and ports in the opening hours of any conflict. China's Navy is expanding its reach beyond the first island chain, encompassing Taiwan, Japan, and the Philippines into the second island chain, including Guam and Micronesia, signaling a growing strategic threat to U.S. allies in the region. These are all the waters my father was in World War II in a submarine. I remember him talking about he was in the South China Sea on the USS Paddle. A leaked U.S. Pentagon report from December 2025 highlights China's advantages in hypersonic missiles, drone swarms, and rapid production, including that the U.S. would likely lose a decisive conflict over Taiwan due to vulnerabilities in satellites, bases, and munitions stockpiles. The report urges reforms like shifting to mass-producible drones and AI integration to deter aggression. These moves are seen as preparations for potential coercion or invasion, with China invoking its anti-succession law. So that's what they point to. They created a law that it's against the law to secede from China, which they consider that Taiwan did. To justify force if Taiwan pursues formal independence. So anyways, what are some of the risks in 2026? There you go. There's one of them. And also the current valuation of the market. Okay.
And the issue there, the issue with all of that, right, particularly on the geopolitical side, is it's hard to hedge against, right? I mean, what are we going to do to hedge against the, vast reduction potentially in computer chips for an extended period of time, right? I mean, it would
cripple the world global economy. I just don't see any other conclusion. So you just have to kind of be, and you know, I mean, it could happen overnight. Well, we woke up and, Russia was invading Ukraine several years ago. We woke up one morning and, it was actually in the afternoon and, Israel was under attack. And you just never know, but you have to keep that in mind and you have to stay alert and watch world events.
Remain vigilant. So.
Yes, remain vigilant. I feel strongly, however, that they won't do it while Trump is president. That's just the way I feel. Okay. Micron forecast $100 billion HBM market by 2028 as supply tightness persists through 2026. Here's their quarter. And I sent this out on X this morning. Micron's quarter, their sales were up 57% year over year. Their earnings were up 167% year over year. And for those of you who saw my workshop in 2025 on our tour, I always talk about current and annual earnings growth. Well, the current growth is quarter over quarter, 167%. And then I talk about, this is the CanSlim, some of the letters from CanSlim, which was William O'Neill's West Coast offense, but he lacked the letter V, valuation, which I added to the equation. The other one is annual growth in earnings, and right now Micron is looking at 211% growth in annual earnings. They're looking at $25.77 per share versus $8.29 per share last year. And in 2027, which is part of that earnings estimate going up, they're expecting $32.26, which would be 25%. And I got to have a hunch that those, I'm going to write those numbers down where they're at right now, frozen in time, and I got a hunch they're going to go higher. And for that reason, now Micron has come back down to earth a little bit. It was up 15%. Now it's up 11.7%. That is a huge, huge quarter. And they beat earnings estimates by a wide margin. So that means that their estimates, I would think, for next year, this year coming up, 2026, and for next year, 2027, are going to go higher. Right now, Micron's stock is up 110%, not counting today, over the last 12 months. And over the last 3 years, Micron's stock has gone up by 64% per year. But remember, it's volatile as all get out. In the last bear market, which the app also shows you, During the bear of 2007 through 2009, Micron went down 72%. So it's not a stock you can just buy and hold and go to sleep on. It ebbs and flows with the demand and the supply of those all-important memory chips. So Micron having a huge day. Now, I'm just going to look at my current valuation. Now, we own Micron in our premier growth portfolio. And our five-year valuation, which is a little bit difficult to predict because those earnings, but I've got it with 97% upside potential. That was as of yesterday. So that's an A. That's an A valuation grade. Its performance grade of Micron is also an A. What do I do? Half of my equation is the performance of the stock, and the other, which indicates the last 5 years, and the other half is the estimates for the next 5 years. So we're taking the past and we're predicting the future based on consensus public estimates out there, which I also tweak from time to time if I think they're off a little bit, especially the growth rate. And I'm factoring in a growth rate at Micron of 17% per year over the next 5 years. So anyways, bang, huge big gainer today, lifting the entire NASDAQ. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, that hedging question that you asked, there is a magnificent way to hedge against that outcome, and I believe that we're doing it. The way to hedge against that potential attack on Taiwan is to be all ready to go to move the production of those chips to the United States of America. And we have been building plants, you know, Arizona. Arizona is our Taiwan, right, Barry? Taiwan Semiconductor has a plant in Arizona. And if I'm not mistaken,
building
they produced.
And more, right, and building more and more places. So
they produced a Blackwell chip there. And I'm sure that is a message to China. You know, we're prepared, and that's the way to hedge against that, and I believe that we will do it. I think we have people, you know, hopefully in high places, they have to always measure risk, too. What are the risks to our economy? What's the risk to our defense? What is the risk if, you know, a major commodity like these all-important semiconductors, they're not just AI. I mean, they're in everything. The chips, I've watched this semiconductor revolution during my lifetime in the business and how we've gone, you know, from where we were 25 years ago to where we are today. And that's why I know the Trump administration has been spending a lot of money on getting foundries up and running in the United States of America in places like Texas and in places like Arizona. We have one in New York, Global Foundries. We're investing in Intel, which knows how to build foundries, but get those up and running, and that takes away a big threat, and maybe they're ready to go now. I don't know the answer to that question, but you've got to have the ASM lithography equipment. You've got to have the manpower. You've got to have the expertise. I believe it's here now. Whether we're ready to turn the lights on tomorrow and start producing these all-important chips, I don't know. But obviously AMD, NVIDIA, I don't know where Micron chips, ask Grok, Barry,
well,
where
are
Micron chips produced?
Yeah. And I think the administration, right, is you know, content, insistent upon, this happening, right? Building out that production and being more efficient, right, with the investment. I mean, we had the, quote unquote CHIPS Act, right? Under the Biden administration.
That was under Biden, yes.
Not implemented the best. This, I think the way that we're, kind of approaching it this time in terms of, taking, a bit of an ownership stake, right? Having some equity or skin in the game and, it kind of, if you got a little equity involved, then, you're gonna make sure the outcome, right, succeeds.
Yes. Okay. So anyways, there's how you hedge against it. And I believe that it's going on in the background, which would take alleviate a lot of that fear that you have, of the a global economy going into crisis should they invade. Okay. Biggest risk in 2026. This comes from Seeking Alpha, I believe, a survey that they did. Number one risk, and I'm on board with this one, tech valuations plunge, AI enthusiasm wanes, 57% of those polled. That by far was the number one risk for 2026. Yes, valuations, obviously. Number two, the Fed chair pushes for aggressive rate cuts and causes market turmoil and inflation. I don't see that as a big risk myself. Number three, I'm totally on board with this, a crisis in private capital. Not only private capital, but private debt. That's a huge risk. Number four, bond yields rise more than expected. Well, we can't control that. The market sets rates. We're at 4.12 right now. Number five, central banks hike unexpectedly as inflation is sticky. Number six, AI causes a noticeable impact on unemployment. In other words, people lose their jobs to AI. All of a sudden, there goes your initial jobless claims numbers. That's why we watch that so closely. The rest of them, well, Bank of Japan. Japan is a problem. And number nine, and I would agree with this, turmoil in the crypto markets, which we're seeing right now. There's a crisis of confidence. There's a lot of money tied up in those crypto markets. And then number 10 is a U.S. hard landing, which means that because rates are too high, we go into a recession. All right, so that's what to think about between now and Christmas, right? The next,
yeah, good luck. The 10 good risk luck getting of, some rest on that
yes.
one, right?
But, look, at the end of the day, it comes down to those earnings. And that's why you can kind of set aside all of the emotional ones and just watch those earnings estimates. For me, that takes a lot of the not being able to sleep at night out of the market. Apple's foldable iPhone, we'll end with this story. I'm waiting for that. I was sitting behind a guy at church, and he unfolds his phone. I go, wow, that's pretty cool. He says, I love it. It was a, it was an
Samsung.
Android. It was a Samsung phone.
Yeah,
folds up in his pocket and opens up to like a little tablet. I love it. And Apple
I could just
is
see your face. I could just see your face.
Who makes it? Blah, 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 blah. But Apple is supposedly they've moved the timeline up to 2026. And they say there will be shortages. So maybe that'll move the needle on Apple finally. Okay, well, we are out of time. There was a lot to talk about today. I feel like there was a lot of really, really important stuff to talk about today to mull over in your mind, to know the backdrop of what's going on. But at the same time, the earnings picture for 2026 and 2027 remain quite favorable, as good as it's ever been, really. It's a matter of the valuation on those earnings and the threats that we just outlined to those earnings. To get 4 free weeks to the newsletter, to watch our macro outlook, I am going to go back and look at what I predicted 1 year ago today to see how I did, and I'll report back tomorrow. I can't honestly remember. I'd have to go back to the last newsletter of December, Barry, to get that number. To get 4 free weeks of all of the alerts during the day so you don't panic, you don't do crazy things, GundersonCapital.com. to get a free evaluation of your portfolio, wherever it may be, whether you're self-managing or you're one of the big wirehouse firms or a little boutique brokerage house. Set up an appointment with us at 855-611-BEST. Start 2026 off right by calling 855-611-BEST. Reserve an appointment with one of our advisors. Have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.